I dump a whole bottle out every time I use a bottle, so.
Dang.
Were you the guy that dumped the bottle out?
Yeah.
Dang. Well, when you've got that Hampton money, you can just do that, I guess.
Scott sent him that bottle for free.
Yeah. I forgot. That's why he dumped it out. He ain't paying for that.
Yeah, he told Scott, he goes, I didn't buy that. I'm just going to dump the whole bottle
yeah,
out.
Yeah, no big deal.
Those are traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another Ozark Traditions TV podcast. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt Smith, Justin Hampton, and we've got Don Gark, who just is, I think he's got his fingers in a little bit of everything. He said something earlier about being a watermelon salesman. He's with Buck Sense. All kinds of stuff. He's got a soft plastic company, bait for fishing, and a couple other things we're going to talk about tonight. But it's been a little bit since we've been on here. We've had a few things going on around here that kind of set us back, but everybody's doing fine now, and we're rolling into hunting season. We're getting real close to the good part of hunting season here in Missouri. Which I'd say pretty much everywhere. The rut is, I'd say pre-rut's in full swing here. Bucks are checking scrapes pretty good. The little bucks are kind of chasing does around a little bit. So things are starting to happen. We're getting in the latter part of October. So things are really starting to kick up. I feel like it's been a couple weeks since somebody on the team's killed a deer, so we're slacking there. But we started off hot. But now that it's getting good, nobody's killing anything. So, anyways, all right.
Well, TJ, maybe it's not getting that good then.
Maybe. I guess it was better before. I don't know.
Yeah, we got about the same activity up here in Michigan, too. The little bucks are chasing, scrapes, grubs are all over, you know?
Yeah. Well, so far, I've got a cell camera on a scrape up here where I'm at, and in the past 4 days, it's started to pick up. It's set up
right,
there
and
for...
we got a couple bigger bucks up in here around their area that are starting to do some tending and group up the does and keep them all together too. So
yeah,
it's starting to get some action.
And you said you're in Michigan, right?
Yeah, I'm in the Thumb region of Michigan, and we've had snow already, and it's been cold and raining for 3 days, and we got a pretty nice weekend coming up, so they might be pretty active.
Well, I would say probably not a lot ahead, but I'd say your guys' might be just a little bit ahead of where we're at down here as far as, like, where the rut goes. And I know weather doesn't really have much to do with it, but the rut is different throughout the country here. But anyways, like I said, bucks are starting to show up. It's all been in the dark for me, but last week I got 2 pictures on this scrape, and this week I get about 25 a night. So things are definitely, I can tell you, you know, my shooter buck was in there at 8 o'clock last night, right after I hunted all night and didn't see him. But, you know, that's how it's not there, but it's getting there. So, but, all right. Well, Dan, we'll kick this thing off. First thing I want to talk to you about is something we've been giving away on our Facebook Live, and we've got some of it we're going to try, is the buck scent pads. And I know you and Scott, I think, is the owner. I got that right, Hampton?
Yeah,
that's correct.
Of these things, and they're really, really neat, guys. I'll kind of explain it. And if you've watched any of our Facebook Live videos, we've had them on there and kind of talked about them. But these things are a scent pad that goes in your thermocell that you keep the mosquitoes off. So you can use your thermocell basically all year round. You can use it to keep the mosquitoes off of you. And then when the bugs aren't bad, you could slide these things in here. And they've got all kinds of
scents. You can actually use them both at the same time, because if you put a half a pad of the mosquito pad and the buck scent pad in there, you can deter the mosquitoes and have your cover and attractant scent.
Well, nobody told me that. I'm over here swatting mosquitoes and smelling like acorns. I could do both at the same time.
Yeah, that was something we figured out a couple years ago, and we were trying to figure out how we can incorporate both of them in one pad, and we were like, why don't we just stick one pad of each halfway into it? Because, you know, partway through your hunt, you could just flip your pads around and have fresh pads on the other side.
Right. And that's something people that use thermocells, I don't know if you know this or not, and they're probably not going to tell you this because they want you to just buy more. But on a thermocell pad, you can flip them over and get, you can use them twice, basically, is what, just like what Dan just said. And I'm assuming you can do the same thing with the buck scent pads.
Yes.
These things are pretty neat, guys. I'm excited to use the Estrus one because I feel like it's something. I've got the package here in my hand, and you guys have a picture, like a little silhouette of a, got one hanging in a tree, like down from your tree stand or whatever, but you put one of them Estrus deals in there, hang that from a tree, you know, it ought to be pretty interesting to see, you know, get that smell out there, and it give you a, you know, them bucks are thinking about one thing that time of year, and if you can get his attention off you, I mean, that's better. So kind of tell us exactly a little bit about this and, you know, how you guys got or come up with the idea or how it even come about.
Oh, well, Scott's the man about it. He asked me to do this with you guys, and he pretty much come up with the pad idea and got the sense and everything and figured out how to get them to absorb into the pads and did all the work to it, and it started from there. And he actually put perforated holes in the pads, too, so that way they soak up the oils and the scents better, and they distributed it out better, too, so it's not just leaching out of the surface of the pad, it's actually leaching out of all the perforated holes too. And upgraded this year, he started punching holes in the pad, so that way if you don't want to put them in your thermocell and if you want to hang them in a tree or on a little stick or a branch, there's actually a hole in them you can put right on the branch and just watch the pad, and the pad puts off lots of scent, so it's good for an attractant. And me and my boy here, Ian, we got stories in the last couple of years of our hunting trips and how things have changed and exactly how our hunts have changed. We hunt downwind now. Mainly you're training yourself to be scent free and, you know, have the wind in your face and anything possible to deter the nose of a deer. After we've been using them so long, we've learned that the deer come in behind us when we're using them and they're sitting next to us. So we got to turn around. And so we just started hunting downwind, and honestly, I don't even really wash my clothes anymore because that's how much faith I have in these pads, and our favorite one's the peanut butter.
Really? I was just getting ready to say, which one do you guys, you know, which one has worked the most for you? And obviously, you're saying peanut butter, so, and I know deer like yep. peanut butter, so that, you know. Now, up there in Michigan, are you not scared of the bears finding you? I know bears like peanut butter.
The bears are more up north region. We're on the lower southern part of Michigan.
Yeah.
There has been a couple of them that have been spotted over towards Saginaw area, which is a couple hours away. But you got to go farther up north about that. And no, there's really not really any animals to be afraid of around here when it comes to, like, your sweet scents and smells and your foods and stuff like that. I mean, we do have coyotes and maybe a you know, bobcat or two, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So we probably got more bears here than what you guys have got. We actually have a guy coming on, I think, here in the next week or so that just shot an archery bear here in Missouri because we've, here in what, how long have they been doing this? 2 years now, I think. We've had a bear season here in Missouri, so it's kind of new to us, the whole bear thing. But, you know, maybe that's something that this, the buck scent pads could do too, is get a scent that would work to attract bears too. I know they're, you know, they're big into the sweet smelling stuff. So, and I would agree with that. Persimmon flavored pad too. So, you know.
Yep, I was just going to mention that. There is a persimmon pad. I think for the bear guys, the peanut butter, the persimmon, and the new white acorn, white oak acorn. I got a pack right here, and I just got them in. Scott, I'm sending them to me, and they smell delicious, man. I mean, like, I'm sure the bears would come into that, and I actually can't wait to get that out in the woods and try it here in Michigan, and I'm going to give that one a first go around when we first get out here this weekend and see if that performs as well as the peanut butter one does for us.
Well, on that note, I'll probably be trying mine, too, because I just got a package yesterday he sent me to try out.
There you go.
Yep.
Now, something else.
Well, and try to remember, too, on the outside of the pads, he's got the liquid bottle. And yep. They smell just like the pads. And they work just as well. And one guy, he took the whole bottle and dumped it out in the field. He had deer coming up for a week, you know, trying to find that, you know, what that is in that spot, eating whatever it was on the ground because it couldn't resist.
All right, so I got a question, and I'm assuming these have got to be legal in pretty much everywhere to hunt, I'd imagine. I don't know anywhere that they tell you couldn't use a scent.
Actually, here in Michigan, I'll explain the laws a little bit. The buck scent pads, not so much, but the liquids, we're not allowed to use anything up here that the deer can come in contact with. Like you can't spray anything on any trees or any bushes. If you want to hang a scent drip, it has to be up high enough in the tree to where a deer cannot contact it. That's just the laws that they put in, and they even banned baiting up here. So yeah. We got to get innovative, and the buck scent pads is the way to go, because then we get the scent distributed and there's no contact. And like the spray bottles, you can spray it on yourself, but you can't spray it around you on anything else for any kind of contact.
Yeah, I'd say that has a lot to do with the CWD stuff, because we've kind of, they just took away, obviously Missouri's been, you couldn't bait here from the day one, but we used to be able to put out like mineral sites and stuff. And then now in certain counties here in Missouri, not everywhere, but certain counties, you can't even do that now. So they're slowly starting to kind of take that away from us as well. And it has everything to do with the spread of the CWD, which that's a whole nother ball of wax. And we've talked about that on this podcast, how
I could talk all day about that.
It's kind of a big pile of crap, but that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. So we'll just move on from there, because I know how this works. We get in a rabbit hole and we'll forget the whole reason we brought you on here. So we're going to move on from that. But these buck scent pad guys, they're pretty neat, guys. So you guys have a website. Anybody who wants to, you know, get these and try them out, I'm guessing it's buckscentpads.com.
Yeah, yep, for sure. And you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Now, is there another device? Okay, so I'm reading right here on the package. It says compatible with Thermacell-type devices. Is there another thing out there besides the Thermacell that's kind of the same thing that somebody else could get to use these in?
I think there is a couple other devices that have been put out there, like different brands, that actually heat up and will heat a pad similar to the Thermacell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can come across one and they have, like, the same cage area with the metal plate, and they could heat it up. I've also heard of there's people out there trying to create like a Thermacell device that runs on batteries versus the little propane bottles and stuff like that too. So there might be some things that you might see in the next few years come out that will be similar to a Thermacell.
Yeah. Well, and guys, you can get a Thermacell pretty much anywhere. You can go to Walmart and get one, and they're not stupid expensive. You know, they're like $20, $25, and the little cartridges aren't terrible. It's not like Ozonix or something that it's gonna break the bank. Like they're pretty affordable. Plus, I mean, they do work with bugs. Now, if you're listening to this, and say you're not a hunter at all, if you're a camper or anything like that, and this isn't, I mean, we're not sponsored by nobody, but Thermacell, they work. I've used them. They work really good. And another thing I've heard people, and this might help with the buck scent deals. I haven't had a problem with Thermacell spooking deer while I was deer hunting. And I've had people ask me like, hey, does the smell of your Thermacell scare deer off? And I've never noticed the deer. And I'm thinking, as long as you don't smell like a human. Now, if they, you know, they get that Thermacell scent and they put that with, oh, that's a human, then he might have problems. But if you're running, like what Dan said, if you're running a buck scent pad with your Thermacell pad, you know, maybe it keeps them calm and keeps them interested instead of being scared of it. So that's definitely an interesting thing.
It's like the buck scent pad overpowers the scent of the Thermacell pad, but I agree with you on that. When it comes down to the Thermacell pads and the association with the deer, they don't associate the Thermacell pad, because you can smell it when you put it up to your nose and stuff, but they don't associate it with danger unless they figure it out. You know, it's an educational thing to them.
Right, yeah, as long as they don't smell that and you shoot at them or miss them or they spot you or something, I don't think they're going to put two and two together. I know they can seem pretty smart and they outsmart us every single day, but I don't think they're that smart. So, but, you know, the Thermacell thing or the buck scent thing is definitely a really neat product, and that's why Justin got with you guys and got us some of them, and we've given it away on the Facebook Lives we do. And like I said, we're fixing to start filming and, you know, using these things. Especially, like I said, I'm going to for sure be using the Estrus one here in the rut. I'm excited to see the interaction with that. So you know, guys, if, like I said, if you want to check them out, it's buckscentpads.com. If you want to see what they kind of look like or whatever, I guess you can go back and look at some of our Facebook lives that we've done. I've showed them on there. We've talked about them a little bit. So they're very, very neat
product. Super easy to use. Yep, super easy to use. I do want to mention Buck Scent Pads. Last year, we did a downwind challenge. Since me and my son have had such good luck, I was telling Scott about our experiences with hunting downwind with them. He's like, well, let's do a downwind challenge. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, $500 worth of prizes. He wants to do it again this year. I'm going to be making something up that we can post on the page within the next couple of days. And if pretty much you use the buck scent pads and, you know, take a picture or a small video, showing that the wind's blowing downwind and, you know, your scent from the scent pads going in downwind where you're hunting. And if you harvest an animal and take a picture and, you know, post it in the Buck Scent Pads group, Buck Scent Pad also has a group on Facebook, that'll get you an entry in to up to $500 worth of stuff. And, you know, it'll be bracketed off for second, third type place stuff. And you can win a lot of gear and a lot of product and maybe even a cash, you know, everyday gift card that you can use anywhere you want.
Awesome. Well, maybe if I get lucky and find a dead deer somewhere out in the woods, I can take a picture with it, because I don't know if I'll be able to kill one or not. That's not because of the buck scent pads. That'll definitely be on me. But it's right. a really neat product, guys.
Yeah, there's a couple things you got to do to figure out to get entered into this type of giveaway, but definitely fun, and it's fun for the kids. The kids will love it. And if you're getting a kid out in the outdoors, take a buck scent pad out there. They will definitely see some deer coming in. And I've had them up to 10 yards in front of me, and they never even smelled me. And as long as you sit still, they won't pick you out.
Well, I tell you what, here in Missouri, we've got the youth season coming up Halloween weekend. So we'll definitely be dragging them out and trying it out.
I'll tell you my experience with it. Last Saturday, I had a peanut butter pad hanging up in my thermosail. I had a doe walk by it. She looked at my thermosail and just stared at it for a couple of seconds. Then she just kept on walking like we wasn't even there.
Didn't want... Oh, was you youth hunting or was you hunting?
I was youth hunting, crossbow.
Yeah. No shot or just didn't want to shoot a doe?
Well, it was 57 yards.
Oh. What the heck did you put your thermosail out there so far for?
Well, the thermosail is 28 yards from
me. Oh, okay. I thought it, like, went up and smelt the thermosail. I was like, well, buddy, I don't want to be a picky guy here, but I think I'd put her in bow range, you know. That would make more sense.
No, well, here's the deal. I'll tell a quick story on that real quick. We blew the crossbow up, had to run to Walmart, buy another one, so I didn't have time to line it in to 60 yards. We did 20 yards, and I told him that you wasn't shooting past 20, and that was it, and we took off.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Advantage you can get with a kid, if it get the deer's attention off of you, because I don't care whose kid you're with, and they do not hold still. So if you can get a deer looking at something else, or at least my kid don't, and we've been in ground blinds and got busted, that's how bad he likes to move around. So
speaking of ground blinds, man, they're perfect for the inside of a ground blind, and that scent will just consume all your scent, and they won't even know you're there. But if you guys want a real challenge with the buck scent pad, put that thermosail right next to you. It will cover your scent. You won't get blown at, and they'll be walking straight into you, and they'll get pretty close. And it's a pretty cool experience.
Well, I tell you what. Now, I'm going to take him tomorrow night, Drake, with a crossbow. We've set him a blind up, and we actually got busted a couple nights ago because the wind just completely died down, and the thermals was just – it was just like we're sitting in a dome there. So tomorrow night, I will film this, which I always film. We're going to try them out. So we're going to see what we can get going with that. And we'll put the results up on our Facebook page. Speaking of Facebook pages, Buck Scent, if the people – you said you guys post stuff on your page. You got a Facebook page people can go to?
Yeah, Buck Scent Pads. Buck Scent Pads, pretty much. And
that makes sense.
We post a lot of stuff on there. And then we got the Buck Scent Pads group. It actually says the word group. And anybody's willing to join there. And if you guys have success with the pads, or if any of the listeners do, they can post their success in there. We'd be happy to post it to the page.
Yeah, there you go, guys. So go check them out on buckscentpads.com, on the Facebook page. You guys need to check these things out.
And all right. And not that it makes any difference, but where is this product made at?
He lives down south. I can't exactly remember what state he lives in.
Dothan, Alabama.
So it's American-made product.
Yeah, yes. American-made.
There you go.
Yeah, he does everything right there on his home property, actually. He employs people. He's got people, you know, packaging, and he does a lot of the work himself and preparing the pads. I can't tell you exactly how the secrets go and how he makes this possible, but definitely is a pretty good enthusiast and gets people, you know, jobs and makes a great product.
So it says right here, it's Dothan, Alabama. He's a Air Force veteran, and it's made in the United States. So there you go, guys. There's no reason not to go get it, just for those reasons right there. And it works. I mean, that's probably the number one reason. But so there you go, guys. Well, there's the Buck Scent pad. All right, go
here's
ahead.
Here's another thing I want to add. You're going to go out there and spend $10, $12, or whatever on the same stuff you tried last year that didn't work. Why not spend that same $10 or $12 on something new and give it a try?
I tell you what, it's funny that we're talking about this. I actually watched a Seek One episode today on my phone, and they had all the different scent, like covers, like the, oh, like Scent Away, Nose Jammer, a couple other things. They had all them things out there, and they had like six or seven boxes posted. They was out in this field, and a police dog. And they sprayed, and they had the ozonic system. They had everything, guys. I'm talking everything. And sprayed down, spent all this money. That dog found that guy every single time in less than 5 seconds. And it didn't matter if he used the $350 ozonics or the $5 bottle of Scent Away spray. He found him in less than 3 seconds almost every single time. So maybe.
That says a lot.
Yeah. So the Scent Away stuff, instead of trying to hide your scent, I'm thinking that maybe the cover scent thing might be your best option. And that's what Buck Scent is. Buck Scent's not hiding you, or I guess it is hiding you behind something else. Because as far as trying to eliminate the human odor, I don't know that you're really ever going to do it. I don't think you ever will, actually.
Well, here's my story. Here's my story. Ever since I started using these, I was a real stickler about my scent. I would hand wash my clothes. I would never put them in a washer. I'd use baking soda, you know, any kind of great scent eliminating shampoo I could find. I'd hang my clothes outside. In 2 years, I just leave my clothes sitting in the armoire with all the rest of our jackets, and I leave my boots in the house in the shoe bin, and I don't wash them anymore unless they need it, you know, unless I get too dirty or get blood all over them. And I just use the Buck Scent pads, and it's been working phenomenal, and it's really changed the way that me and my son hunt, really. It, like, took everything that I've trained myself to believe that I need to do and totally flip-flopped it over, and it's just, it's more enjoyable, and there's a lot less work and a lot less worrying about your scent, because the scent that comes out of these pads, it covers your personal home scent or your body scent or, like, dog scent. And like, even when you go to the gas stations, you might get something on your boot before you go out. I have never had an issue with a deer blowing at me in 2 years. I mean, this is my own story, and I believe it's the Buck Scent pads, and I could just share that with you guys.
Well, I mean, if you were not having them results before you started using it, and then, I mean, it's obviously that's what it is. And that's what I was saying about, instead of trying to hide your scent or eliminate your scent, I guess I should say, you know, maybe the overwhelming it with something else idea. Because I remember a time where, like, the cedar tree spray, they had a cover scent spray. And, man, that stuff, I used to use it, and it about make your eyes water. It was so strong. I mean, it was very, very strong. But I don't remember ever really getting winded by deer a whole lot. And then that's kind of died off, and now there's 500 million scent companies, and they're all the same. And I'm the biggest critic when it comes to the hunting stuff. I mean, just like, you know, I know some guys believe in the ozonics, like, to a T. We actually, on Facebook Live the other night, it was a pretty big topic. Guys talk about how good it works. And I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm sure it does work. But nothing's going to eliminate human scent. There's just no, a deer can smell 1,000 times better than a human can. There's just, if they're going to wind you, they're going to wind you. Might as well have something that maybe they smell enough of something else that it doesn't scare them. And, you know, this right here might be the answer. So everybody needs to check it out, try it. I'm going to try it. So And I'll tell my honest opinion about it. And I know it sounds like Dan's had really good luck with it. So give it a shot, guys. Check them out. BuckScentPads.com. All right. Now, we got a lot to cover here because it sounds like Dan's a pretty busy guy. So another thing you mentioned to me before we come on here was you have a couple other things going on, and one of them be the Big Into the Outdoors thing. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the Dig in the Outdoors thing. When the whole social media thing started in the outdoor industry and, you know, with Facebook and everything, I created a page, and it was originally called DSD, Forthright Outdoors. And, you know, I had a son, and then he started getting older and wanted to do everything with me. And we named it Dig Into the Outdoors because my name's Dan, his name's Ian, and our last name's Gark. So I was like, that's pretty cool. Let's switch it up. So we got our own page going on Facebook where we share our adventures hunting, fishing, foraging, mushroom hunting, anything we can do in the outdoors. And then on top of that, I created a Facebook group and for all the promoters in the industry who want to get their business out there, or the pro staffers or YouTubers. That one's called Outdoor Industry Promotions. And we also have a page and a group for everybody to share their stuff to. So, you know, so they can get better post reach and reach more people actually in the industry. So there's that there if anybody wants to check that out and join and have another source to share their stuff to.
Well, that seems like the hot topic nowadays is the, you know, the Facebook groups and all that. There seems like there's one for everything. There's Matthew's Only Hunters, which, Justin, you can't be part of that. Sorry. There's crossbow hunting pages, you know, there's whitetail agent score pages, there's, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I'd say that'll be a lot of people be interested in that kind of thing. We actually have
this one here covers everything. And, you know, just keep the peace. That's our main rule between the competitiveness, between the companies that do the similar things. We really sticklers about that because we don't want people coming on there bashing one company from another company. We'll remove anybody who does that. So pretty much anything goes in there. If you guys want to promote your stuff, even you guys, put, you know, your Ozark Traditions TV episodes up in there. I'm sure everybody in there would love to see them.
There you go. All right, Hampton, that's your job.
What was it called?
Outdoor Industry Promotions.
Justin Hampton is the official promoter for Ozark Traditions TV, just in case anybody's wanting to know.
Well, now everybody knows the guy to reach out to for the social media stuff. You're going to get bombarded with messages now, man.
There you go.
Oh, hey, I already liked the page. I think I've already put some stuff on there before.
There you go.
Well, he's not promoting it very well, then. We're going to have to talk about this job. You're supposed to be... Because you've got the time, you know what I mean? You've got the time.
Put it on the list.
All right, it's on the list. You're on the clock right now. So you need to get that taken care of. All right, so Dan, something else that you told me you did, and I'm interested because I'm a big fisherman.
All right, so this is long into this. We created a soft plastic company. So years ago, like when I created our page for, you know, the Dig Into the Outdoors, I used to promote for a lot of companies. I was a staff director. I did PR, HR work. And long story short, my wife said, hey, when are we going to do something for ourselves? And, you know, you do all this other stuff for all these other companies. Well, it happened to so come along that I had an opportunity to buy some equipment from a guy who shut his plastic business down. And I kind of told her, I'm like, hey, you're the one that said, you know, we need to do something for ourselves. And it got me in on being able to go purchase it all. And we started a soft plastic business called Thump 'em Soft Plastics.
There you go. So what do you guys make? Do you make just like plastic worms, brush hogs, or you make crappie jigs? What are we talking here? A little bit of everything?
I got bass worms, like a 5-inch straight worm, a 7-inch ribbon tail. We just got some 5-inch stick bait molds in. So those will be being announced soon, as soon as we can get some colors made up in those and get some stock going. I got split tails like they use for jigging for walleye, because up here in Michigan, walleye fishing is, you know, really huge. It's everywhere.
Oh, it's everywhere on social media now with the guys using the lead weights, you know.
Yep, I'm not into the lead thing.
Boy, what a mess that was.
Right?
You know, and for the wrong reasons, the fishing industry blew up over the past month, but...
Right. Yep. And it really stood out. Well, the fall brawl is going on right now. And, you know, this is the first event since that's happened. And there's sure is a lot of memes and comments popping up on that stuff.
Yeah.
But they're getting through it. They've changed a lot of rules. And now they've added metal detectors to, you know, checking on their fish. And them guys, when they win a lot, they got to go through lie detector tests and all kinds of other stuff to, you know, make sure that they're not cheating. And it's kind of amazing that them guys got away with that for as long as they did. But
I know we're going to end up down a rabbit hole here, but I think those guys already took a lie detector test twice and failed it, or failed one and
they
passed
sure
one
did.
And they still let them do it. So I'm not saying it's the tournament director's fault, because obviously, you know, these guys want a lot of money. And everybody's wondering why it was such a big deal. And it's people don't realize how much money these guys have won in boats and whatnot. And not to mention
thousands of dollars.
The guys that are fishing these, this is a professional series, guys. These guys are doing this for a living. This is their job. And these guys
Well, most of the guys that do these series, is that like the one that these guys got busted in, a lot of them do it for the camaraderie and to get out and have fun. You know, they don't make a whole lot of ton of money, but like this happened in our backyard. We call it the backyard up here, you know.
Yeah.
And the guys up here, it's really huge news here in Michigan, between Michigan and Ohio, that something like that would happen at one of these events. And as soon as that video got posted, like every local site there was, you've seen that video.
Oh, man.
And
it was
like, holy cow, it blew up.
I mean, those guys aren't going to be able to walk down the street. I mean, it's, but you know what? I don't feel sorry for them. I mean, obviously they did it to themselves, and I'm sure it's not the only time they've been doing it. So they just got greedy. You know, they've probably been getting away with it for a long time. And they, you know, when you try to go win a tournament by 6-7 pounds better than everybody else, and you all have the same size fish, what do you expect to happen? I mean, it just...
Well, exactly. You know, the only thing, I've never heard anybody yet mention what the only thing that I've thought about the whole situation is. I watched the video over and over and over again, and the top weight that was below them with their cheating weight was 15 pounds. They had 33.
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have added that 8 pounds of extra weight to
they'd
ensure
probably
their
never
win,
got caught.
They would have won. Yeah. They would have still won.
You can't go out there and win a tournament twice the size or double the second place weight, especially when all your fish are the same size. And it, you
right,
know,
cookie,
it's just
cookie cutter fish. That's what they call them up here. Everybody was catching around the same size fish at that point.
Right. These guys are all good at fishing for walleye. It's not like these guys are so much better. It's any given day. I've fished a couple bass tournaments, and, you know, some guys can catch bigger bass. But like what you were saying with the walleye, it seemed like they're all pretty close. It's kind of like a crappie tournament. In our crappie tournaments, a lot of them are decided by, like, eighths of an ounce, like little bitty differences wins a crappie tournament. And I'm assuming it's the same way with a walleye tournament, because they're all kind of the same size.
Right. And they're so plentiful up here that, like, even if I went and got one of them tournaments, I could win it, you know? You could put a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old kid out there on a boat with a Snoopy pole and they could win it. That's how plentiful the fish are up here. So everybody has the same odds when they go out, no matter how expensive of equipment they buy or the cheapest equipment they buy. So, yeah, the walleye world up here is pretty huge, and that's why we created the split tails. That's what's mainly used up here, and we carry a 3-inch and a 3.75-inch. So that way, if you use a smaller size jig head, you can use the smaller presentation body, which sometimes the walleye is like even better. And if you have to use a bigger jig head because you're in the bigger current water, like a 1-ounce jig, we got the 3.75. So that way the body can handle the jig head shake.
Right. Well, there you go for all you walleye fishermen. We've got walleye here in Missouri, but not enough to where, I mean, every once in a while you'll go out and you'll catch one. You know, and I'm saying that from my, I know guys that can go out and catch them on Truman and a couple smaller lakes around here, but we don't have like a great walleye. I wish we did, because it's my favorite fish in the world to eat. But we just don't have a...
Oh, they are delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I think down on Table Rock and Bull Shoals, they're a little bit more...
Stockton Lake is pretty good. I've got a buddy I went to high school with who goes down there and just murders the walleye every year. So, and I say that talking to a guy from Michigan, he's laughing at us. You know, he goes out there and catches 10 or 15 a year. That's catching a bunch of them here. You guys catch that in an hour up there, but...
We do. I've actually caught in that many in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, which something that we've got coming up is a ice fishing trip, but we're going to North Dakota with a fan of the TV show. So we're excited about that.
Oh, look at that. Speaking of ice fishing, we also carry ice fishing baits. So, like, we got wax wigglers, ice spikes. I got some little alien bugs. We got about 12 or 13 different bait styles, and we're ranging around 50 colors, too. So there's a lot of different colors to choose from between dual colors and single colors.
Okay, so what's the name of your company again, and how can people get with you if they want to order some of this stuff?
The name of the company is Thump 'Em Soft Plastics. We don't have a website. We strictly work through Facebook and Instagram. We stay pretty busy doing it that way because, you know, the local people around here, Michigan's like one of the biggest fishing places in the United States because of all the Great Lakes. And there's a lot of river systems and inland waters. So and a lot of people know us from the industry from what I've done before. So check us out on our Facebook page. Hit us up through there or through Messenger. I do have the call now button set up for my phone number, which is 810-304-1172, and we'll get you guys set up with some baits and talk fishing and see where you're fishing at and make sure you got the right stuff for your area.
He's also got some cool merch on there too, if you guys are interested in that.
Oh yeah, hoodies, beanies, we make t-shirts, and everything Thump 'Em is made in-house. We don't outsource anything. My wife got a cricket for Mother's Day and I took it over.
There you go. My wife's got one too. Hey, there down here we're in our neck of the woods, and I heard you say you had like some waxworm baits and stuff like that. There's a lot of trout parks down here, and I'm telling you guys, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of his ice fishing baits wouldn't work good for the trout here that we have.
They do. They work great up here too. When they're on the waxworm bite, I get a lot of sales for the wax wiggler 1.35 inch, which. The difference between a wax worm and a mousey, I don't know if you guys hear about them for ice fishing, is the wax worm is just like a maggot shaped, you know, worm.
Right.
The mousey is got like a smaller ribbed body with a tail on it. The wax wigglers I have, they come in two sizes. I got a 1 inch and a 1.35 inch. So one's fatter than the other one, but they both come with the tail on them. So they got a lot of action, and the guys float them down the rivers, and they actually catch a lot of trout on them.
Well, there you go, guys. I mean, you know, obviously we haven't been on ice fish in Missouri in 100 years because it doesn't freeze enough for me to want to walk on it. But for anybody that's listening that's up north, or you're from around here where we're at in the Ozarks and are going up there, or buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, you can catch about all the panfish you want on all that down here too. So be sure to check them out. You're a bass fisherman, all that stuff. White bass. We got a lot of white bass down here. All that stuff. I'm sure it'll work for everything. So,
yep. The three inch split tail on them white bass, man, you cannot keep them off it. I'll hook two hooks up on one line up here in Michigan because we got them up here in the main rivers, and we'll be pulling two fish over the rails. Man, when they're in there boiling, it's a lot of fun.
There you go, guys. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about what's coming up for the rut here, what we think's going to happen, and we'll finish the show up there. So, Dan, stick with us, and we'll talk some deer hunting.
Hi, folks. This is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast. Hunting with my family,
who could ask for more? All right, guys, welcome back. So it is, what is today, the 19th? October 19th, 2022, we started off, I kind of talked about how things are kind of picking up. Now, Dan's a little further north than us, but I don't think things changed drastically, but...
He's a lot further north.
All right, well, yeah, he's in the top of it, we're in the middle of it, there you go.
We had about the same activity as you guys do, you know, scrapes, chasing, little bucks chasing, the bigger bucks are tending...
Yeah.
Yep, no.
Right. Well, what I was going to get to is anybody who's ever thought about, you know, or if you're seeing a bunch of scrapes or you find a big scrape and you've always just wanted to sit on it and never had luck, if you're doing that early season, late season, or even in November, probably not going to see. But right now, if there was a time to hunt a scrape, I would say in the next week or two would be the time to do it. Because once they
and right now is the time to do it here. Like, if you were going out tomorrow and you know a scrape, sit on it.
Yeah, because once they get with the does and the rut happens, the scrapes don't mean anything anymore, you know. So this last week of October, guys, in my experiences, which I'm no expert, but the bucks are really going to start checking them scrapes daily and seeing when does are coming in. You know, this is the best time to kill one, I feel like. And I know everybody gets fired up about November, and there's been a million big bucks killed in November. But you've got to kind of get the luck of the draw in November. If you get a hot doe, you got to hope she comes by you. This time of year, you know, you can get on the right scrape or get on the right trail that the buck's going to a scrape and definitely kill them, because they're going to start looking. The bigger bucks. The little bucks have been going nuts for about a week and a half now, it seems like. You've noticed driving down 54 Highway here around Lake of the Ozarks, they're just splattered all over the place, little bucks are. And that goes to tell you, like, yeah, they're starting. And Justin sent some pictures, and Matt's had some pictures of little bucks cruising around. So they're, you know, the little bucks are doing it, but the bigger, mature bucks, they're definitely going to start coming out of the woodworks a little more. And our acorn crop has been ridiculous here in Missouri this year, and it has killed the buck movement. I mean, late August, I was getting pictures of bucks nightly, you know, in the fields. And as soon as the acorns dropped, it was like somebody just flew in and took all the bucks and they're gone. Or the deer. I mean, it was getting to the point to where I didn't get a deer picture. There was a week there that went by, I didn't have one cell cam picture of a deer. And I thought, what in the world's going on? Well, then you go out in the woods.
They're definitely fattening up. Yep.
The acorns are so thick that, you know, we haven't had an acorn crop like this in Missouri for a while, about 4 or 5 years that I can remember. And when it gets like this, it'll get tough, guys, because them deer just don't have to move to eat. They don't have to go anywhere. So
I was out in the woods Saturday setting up a camera, and I walked through the little patch there where I was going to be hunting. I mean, there's millions of acorns laying on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, they're big.
Now,
you know, they're.
I read a thing today on Facebook that, and I don't know who put it out there, but they said that whenever trees have a stressful summer like we did, where it didn't rain very much, that they will actually produce a lot of acorns because they're wanting to reproduce. You know, they got to put a whole bunch of acorns on the ground because stuff's going to eat a lot of them. So they want it. It's kind of like they said something about, like, when the salmon spawn and they overspawn, it's because, well, half of them's probably going to die. So you got to figure out how many are actually going to make it. And that's what they kind of said about the oak trees. They're like, well, it was really tough. Some of them's going to die off, and a lot of the acorns are going to get ate by animals. So we got to double the acorn crop. And I think that's kind of what they're saying is going on. And I can't remember if this was an MDC thing I read this on or where it was at, but it was pretty interesting, because the bumper crop, acorn crop like we've got this year, don't happen very often. I mean, it's not a every year thing, because if it was, there'd be twice as many deer. Because I'm telling you guys, they just don't, these deer are just standing up, eating, and bedding down. They're not traveling to the green fields. They're not doing nothing. So the rut is going to be our best shot this year. And late in the year, because obviously the acorns, I think once they sit on the ground so long, they're not going to be any good anymore anyways for them to eat. So, and the squirrels are packing them off just as fast as they can. I've got 500 trail camera pictures of one squirrel that's been burying them in my food plot, and it's just all day long, same pictures. So I need to do a little squirrel hunting. But
you going to go out there and dig them up?
I'm going to go out there and shoot the squirrel. I don't care about the acorns. I'm tired of getting squirrel pictures. But if anybody listening is like, man, I just not seen it, just hang in there. I think, honestly, now if you can get out and scout, try to do it, you know, without getting too crazy, but get out and walk around. Don't be scared to get out and look around and find some scrapes. If you can find a big primary scrape, you know, a big scrape. The little bitty scrapes are probably just something at night, or which 90% of your scrape activity is going to be at night anyways. But this is the time of year that he will, you know, in the mornings and in the evenings, maybe come by.
But I think in the next week or two, it's going to change to daylight, because they're going to be looking more, and they're
exactly.
They know it's they're going to try to catch a few does.
They're gonna really, and it wouldn't surprise me in the next, by next week, some of these older does aren't going to be already coming in. And I know that there's a lot of young fawns that I, or fawns born early in the year that, you know, they almost had to have gotten bred in October.
Yeah.
So, it's time, guys. It's time. If you've been waiting all year to go hunting and you haven't, you know, it's time to start getting out there and really start. And I've noticed it just in the past couple, and that's the thing about this time of year. It'll change day to day. Like, things are going to just start getting better and better. Like, I was getting pictures 1 o'clock at night, midnight. Well, now they're 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, you know, just 30 minutes, hour after dark. So it's just a matter of time. And it, and I heard a guy say this one time on the trail camera thing. And it seems like everybody waits until they get a daylight picture to go hunt a buck. And he said, you're already behind the eight ball there. You need to be there when he shows up at daylight, not wait till he shows up at day. So if that deer's trending towards daylight, I think go ahead and get in there and hunt. That way we'll try to do it, you know, without being too invasive, but get in there and hunt. You want to be there when he shows up, not after. Because I've made that mistake a lot, like waiting till I get a daylight picture. Well, then he's either already moved on, found a doe or something. So I think you want to be there when he first shows up.
Yeah, you got to be there when he's investigating the area, because if he doesn't find anything that holds his interest, he's going to move on to a new area.
Right. Well, and like I said, I think daily the does are going to start coming in, you know, around Halloween, I know for sure. Because I've watched bucks chase does at Halloween, which that's basically November. I mean, the deer don't know the difference between October 30th and November 1st.
Mm-hmm. I've got a buck coming in every night in between 12:30 and 3:30. And he's going to that same tree that I sent you guys.
Yep.
And he's hitting it, and that's the only pictures I'm getting of him. He's walking to
it. He's just then, making his rounds, man. Just making his rounds.
Then that morning, then usually the next morning, there's a doe and two fawns and maybe another doe or two pass through during the day.
Yeah, those does will use
that same deal.
Yep, the does will use the scrapes just as much as the bucks do. That's the whole point of it.
Yep.
You know, if it was just a bunch of bucks using a scrape, well, you know, matter what they say in the world today, it don't work like that. You know, you got to have a doe there too. So,
what's funny about that whole deal, that tree, I sat there last year, 58 yards or whatever from that tree last year, and filmed three bucks and four does hit that same tree within an hour.
Yeah. That's the power of a licking branch, boys. And that's where I've kind of, you know, we was talking about the whole CWD crap. With the banning the baits and the scents and all that, or the mineral, those deer lick on the same tree branches all year round, guys. If they're going to get it from a salt block, they're going to get it from a licking branch. It just, and you're never going to stop that.
Licking each other's faces. They do a lot of that year round also, too.
Right. The whole thing of stopping the minerals blocks here in Missouri because of that is just a phony baloney deal, and it don't make any sense to me. But, you know.
Right. I believe that there should be a mineral season set in place, because the minerals, if it's balanced enough, will help, you know, build the deer's immunity and you know, their immune system, and make them healthier, also grow them bigger. And it's always best between March and October to, you know, pump them minerals into a deer as much as you can. And then at the end, they start fattening up for winter. And I wanted to touch on that about Michigan here. I've already cut up a couple deer. Unfortunately, my wife had one smack into the side of the van a couple of weeks ago and totaled our car out, but I was able to at least get the back straps off it. And then I found a nice 11 point laying out in front of my house here, the end of my driveway, when I was putting my son on the bus one morning. And I actually got the whole deer and drug it up to the house. And when I skinned it, there was over an inch of fat on its rump already. And
so you're saying maybe a rough winter.
Yep, I think there's going to be a rough winter, because I ain't never seen that much fat on a deer this early.
Yeah.
And his body was pretty bulked up, and I was like, ooh, it's going to be a tough one for the animal.
Well, I mean, you guys are already getting snow, so it's not looking good in your neighborhood. But back to the CWD
thing.
No,
we're supposed to get a lot of it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I like snow. I'm a waterfowl hunter, but it not all at once. But something I was going to say, and I just thought of this. So all the states that allow baiting and allow you to do whatever, do they haven't had any CWD outbreaks. But all the states that you can't bait, you can't do this, you can't do that, supposedly we're eat up with it. Now, how does that make any sense to anybody? Because you
haven't. Yeah, but have you ever seen any deer out there, or results posted, or anything, wise of, oh, there's all these CWD deer, here they are. You don't see any of that.
And that's what I thought was interesting. Like Georgia, Alabama, Kansas, you know, Texas, all them states,
Arkansas,
all them states you can bait. You can do whatever you want. You can sit over a corn pile. And I'm not, if they'd let us do it here, I'd probably do it. But I'm saying you don't never hear about no CWD outbreaks there. And these deer eating off the same food trough. These guys got feeders. They've got mineral blocks. They've got it all. And then here in Missouri, we can't even throw a salt block out because they're saying that it is it just not made it that far south, I guess? Or I don't understand. I don't see the whole concept of it. But
well, apparently it started out west in, what was it, Colorado, wasn't it? In like the 60s or the 70s?
Somewhere out there. And I guess it got to where like there were some parts of Montana and some places where there just wasn't any deer anymore. It got so bad is what they said. And now it's just, you know, it's made its way here. So, which I personally have never seen a deer die of CWD. I've never found a dead deer. I found one dead deer it was a while back, but I actually took it to the conservation and ended up having that blue tongue. You know, it wasn't CWD. I don't know.
We've got a lot of EHD kill off too. EHD, I think
was more of a problem than the CWD. And the EHD is a midge fly. That does nothing to do with, you know,
exactly.
the deer touching each other. That was more of a, you know, lack of water in a drought year where they're all concentrated because then flies get in the water, I believe. And they go up their nose and all that stuff. That's how the EHD
thing.
Yeah,
eat up their ears, cause infections, you know, stuff like that.
Which that thing's kind of like COVID. It's kind of died off. You really don't even hear about EHD anymore. I don't know. Ain't that weird how that stuff works? I don't.
Hey, the season's coming. Just give it a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. Midterms are new, guys. Anyways.
Yeah, yep, they got to have something.
There'll be some kind of, monkeypox or something.
It kind of died off, though.
Yeah, all of it has. It's weird how that works. I mean, is it a coincidence? I don't know. We've had Ebola. It died off. We've had the mosquito disease. What was that?
This is totally off subject. I shouldn't say it, so I'm going to. Today, I heard on the radio that our president was talking, we needed to lower the gas prices.
Right.
Well, now, wasn't it totally opposite about 6 months ago?
Yeah. Hey, for our politics subject of the week, we better just stay off of it because, there ain't going to be no liberals listening to a hunting show, so I guess we don't have to worry about it. But it is what it is. They believe what they want to believe, and that's fine. I guess as long as they leave us alone, we better just hush. But
right,
it's a mess. It's a deal. Matt's dad, where we're at recording this right now, he's always watching Fox News and some of the stuff they got on there. Just it's comical.
Well,
it's
sad, but already claim the first animal that supposedly picked it up was a deer.
Yeah. I don't know. Just some of the things.
That didn't last long.
No.
Hey, even deer had COVID for a little bit, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
Yeah, they and the cows are farting, so it's making the ozone bad. I mean, that's the world we live in, folks. I mean, that's just.
Hey, and I just wonder how we have survived this long.
It beats me. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, think back. 100 years ago, all the buffalo was running around until we killed them all. But look, millions.
Yeah.
But nobody's, I don't know.
No, I don't know. Or what about all the people that used to smoke cigarettes back in the 60s and 70s? That had to be worse than a fart. And all the cars, you know, they were all straight pipe.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I don't know. We're headed down a steep slope here, boys. The whole global warming thing is kind of a joke. Like, I don't think it's really happening, but by God, Al Gore thought it did, and he kind of kicked her all off.
He still flew his planes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're not walking to all these places they're going. I can promise you that. So.
Hey, Mother Nature will take its own natural cycle no matter what any human does or tries not to do.
That's right.
And the thing is, it'll probably be here before we, it'll be here before, long well, after we're gone.
Hey, do you know what the old Hank Williams song talk about the Mississippi River running dry? Well, buddy, she ain't a lot in it right now. It's if it don't rain for a minute, maybe it's already starting to happen.
Hey, hey, wait till about April and say that.
Yeah. You'll see all I know. Well, I figure here about November, you know, about the first part of November when everybody's wanting to get out and go do some deer hunting, it'll rain for about 2 weeks straight. Except it'll be like an icy rain. I don't know. We do need to rain here, though. I'll tell you what,
first day of fall up here, it turned into fall. Like, the day before that, it was 80s, 90s for, like, 2 months. But the first day of fall, it dropped right into low 60s, and it started raining. And it's been pretty much steady course since.
Well, blow some of that stuff down here. We haven't had a – I mean, we got a little bit of rain last – shoot, I don't even remember when it was. Now it's dried up so fast. We just – but when you talk about the cold temperatures, though, I mean, it was – which I think it's supposed to warm back up this weekend, but – buddy, there was, it just went from 0 to 100. It was 80, 75, 80 one day, and we had a high of 46 today, I think. I mean, it just,
yeah,
just like
the same
that
way ours is going.
And you think that the deer movement, I actually hunted 2 days in a row. I hunted Monday and last night, and I never seen a deer out of the tree stand. And I just knew, like, man, these things are going to be running everywhere, but they didn't. I don't know if the barometric pressure had something to moon phase. I know that they say that has a lot to do with it, but they didn't move like I thought they were going to. So
I believe early season when it gets cold, they bed down to stay warm. But later on, when winter starts kicking in, they have to get up to move and eat and stay warm.
Yeah.
So when you get them cold temperatures early, they're bedding down. They got to stay warm that way. They're soaking up all that heat that's coming up out of the ground versus, you know, that body movement to keep them warm.
Right. Well, and like I said, here before too long, here in another week or so, I don't really think the weather is going to make a difference on deer movement. They're going to be doing the whole rut, and it seems like it could be 95 degrees. It doesn't matter. Once they get into that mode, that's what they're doing for 3 or 4 weeks there. So good times are coming, boys. Just hang in there. I know the deer pictures are probably slowed down for a lot of people, and some guys just don't even care about trail cameras, and maybe that's the way you need to be. You just need to go hunting because that's the way I used to do it, and that seemed like I always used to kill deer. And now that I got
that's
all
how
these,
we still do it.
Now that I got all these cell cams and stuff, I haven't killed a deer in 5 years with my bow, a buck. I've killed plenty of does. I tell you what got me, though, was picking up the video camera. It seems like ever since I've touched one of them things, it's just everything goes the opposite direction of what I need it to. But that's part of it. But it's good times are coming. Hampton was smart. He got his buck killed early. My brother killed his buck early. The rest of us, we're going to be scratching the surface here in the rut, you know, hoping to God something happens. But I feel good. Like I said, my cameras have starting to light back up. Deer movement's starting to happen here in my neck of the woods. So I feel like it's just a matter of time before things start to get good.
Yeah, activity up here is getting better too.
So, all right, Hampton, you got anything you want to add in here before we wrap it up?
No.
I can't believe that. He ain't got nothing to say. So that's a shocker.
What, I got something. What did you find out on your question on Facebook about what to do with scrapes? Leave them alone? Doctor him up?
Yeah.
What was the overwhelming?
Yeah, it wasn't very overwhelming. I think we had 9 people comment.
So what was go ahead and say what the question was first.
What would you do, like, would you doctor a natural scrape, or would you leave it alone?
All right.
You know, would you put something in or leave it alone?
My personal, and it doesn't make it right, don't make it wrong, but I just try to just leave them alone. I feel like if the deer's using it already, what's the point in me messing with it? And it's kind of like when I make a mock scrape. If I'm getting pictures of deer already using that mock scrape, I don't add no more scent to it. I figure the deer's leaving enough scent there, the real thing, that it'll work. Now, I'm not... Now, something, I say that, and when I get down to my tree stand, you got to take a leak, you go over there and you pee in the scrape. I mean, everybody, most people do that, and it doesn't bother the deer. It's been scientifically proven there, people. Dr. Grant Woods, the man himself, said after 15 minutes, it's just pee. It's not human, it's not nothing. So, but at me, I try to just leave them alone. I figure if they're already using it, why fix something if it's not broke? That's my opinion.
I believe the same thing. It's best to leave them alone.
So what'd you get? What was your reactions on that, Hampton? Was it pretty much one way or the other? Was it a split?
It was pretty much. Let me go check it real quick because I'm pretty sure it was neither way or leave them alone.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna check. I'm gonna check it just to make sure. So we're not.
Well, in my early ages of playing with scrapes, we used to, you know, hey, there's a scrape. Let's put some stuff in it, man. That'll make the deer more active. Mm-hmm. We'd come back the next day, and there'd be a scrape 2 feet next to it, and they wouldn't touch the one you put the
right.
stuff in
they
anymore.
Didn't even like. Well, I can remember back when my uncles used to always, if somebody killed a buck, they'd always want to go cut the hawks off of it and hang it in the trees and stuff. And
okay,
I'm not saying it never worked, but.
Out of 6 comments, only one person said Dr. Mutt, so.
So for the majority, it's just leave. Well, and like I said, I'm not saying doctoring up won't work. I'm just saying if they're already using it, why don't mess with it? Just let them do whatever they're going to do. Now, I got another question, and I thought of this last night. I hunted out of a climbing tree stand, and when you climb down, I left it out there on this spot I'm hunting, and when you climb down, my tree stand's at the base of the tree. And as I'm walking out, I got to thinking, man, I wonder if that will mess with them deer. Because that has to smell like me. It has to. Mm-hmm. And it's right in his nose, you know, right at his height. And I know a lot of guys that are hunting out of, you know, a hang-on or a ladder stand, you don't have to worry about that. But people hunting out of climbing stands, and if you want to leave it out there, if you're going to come back and hunt it the next day or don't feel like carrying it out of there like I did, you think that's going to mess up the deer any at all? Because, I mean, and I say this now, I got pictures last night of this 140-inch buck, probably a 5.5-year-old buck, 15 yards from that tree stand. And then he come back through there this morning into the same scrape. So he didn't act like it bothered him nothing. So I don't know. What's your thought on that? Either one of you.
My thought on that is that even if you did leave scent behind on your hanging stand, with the way that the moisture in the air and everything, it'll probably purify your scent down fast enough to where it wouldn't bother the deer instead of, you know, hanging on to it and the deer coming in and not recognizing your scent and knowing that you're a hunter.
Right. So
but
yeah,
that
so
would
probably,
be more of an association thing too.
Yeah, I'd say maybe you're right. Maybe after like a couple hours, it airs out enough that there's just not nothing on there anymore. Because that deer come in about an hour after I left the tree stand. I left that tree stand about 7:10. And he was there at like 8 o'clock and it didn't, and he come back. That's why I'm thinking maybe you're probably right. Maybe after a while it just airs out and there's nothing, but I just got to thinking about that. I was walking out and I thought, you know, I've never seen when I was younger, I never thought about stuff like that, but now I'm like, man, maybe that, you know, leaving that there may not be the best idea, which my plan is I've got to hang on at the house and filming. I'd rather hunt out of a hang on. I'll be honest because I've had some mishaps with climbing stands. Trying to film out of them and then having a deer walk right underneath me and I couldn't shoot. You can't shoot straight down out of a climbing stand that's got the, now I know they make climbing stands that are, you know, they don't have the rails on them and stuff, but mine does. It's a Summit Viper and it's tough. If a deer gets right underneath you and you have to stand up to shoot out of them. See, like a hang on, you can shoot. If you got them to the right angle, you can shoot. So you don't ever have to stand up. So my plan is to actually move a hang-on up there and hunt out of it. But the climber was just easier, quick. You know, I can get up there. I'm pretty good with the climber. And I know a big thing now is the saddle hunting, which I'll be honest, if I had to go back to hunting public land, I'd probably sell every tree stand I got and I'd go to that saddle hunting thing just because of the, you know, the easy access in, with it. And I'm not scared of heights. I'm not scared of none of that. And I know a lot of guys are like, man, you're just hanging there by a rope. What the? Well, I don't know. They've been doing it for what, 5-6 years now. And I've never, and maybe they're just not talking about it, but I've never heard of anybody getting hurt with one. I mean, you're trusting your safety harness every time you get up there. It's basically the same. Of course, you're not hanging from your safety harness the whole time. So I don't know. What is your thought on the saddle thing? I know Hampton sticks to the ground game, but Dan, I mean, what do you prefer the deer hunt out of?
I am a ground hunter, man. I prefer to sit in the tall grass and hunker down in there where they can't see me, you know, open a couple shooting lanes and get some close and personal stuff going on and have some wild experiences. And I bounce around a lot too. I don't particularly sit in one spot. So that way it keeps them guessing. They never know where you're at, and you kind of got an ambush advantage of it.
Yeah, I like the ground game, and I'll be honest, if I wasn't filming or self, because I'm going to tell you right now, grab a camera and go out there and try that and see how it works out. Because it is a mess.
I have one particular spot that it works amazing in. I've been conditioning in this spot for 10 years, and I can get in there and set it up in about 5 minutes fresh. And I could, if I had my camera gear still, I could get it in there and get some good footage. And they never suspect I'm there because they can't see me because I'm below the weeds. But the trick is to it is if you can't get them in them shooting lanes, you got to stand up and shoot. And you got to catch them off guard to do that.
Right. Yeah, it can be a mess. And I'm going to be real honest. I hate hunting out of ground blinds. They just drive me nuts. I can't see any, which now I get it. They come out with the new ones where you can see all the way around you. But I'm just not a huge ground blind hunter. I've never had much luck with getting big mature bucks close to a ground blind. And I know guys have killed them out of them every day. Hampton, you shot your buck out of a ground blind. So they work. And I think if you left them out there long enough, deer get used to them. I get it. But I'm a tree stand hunter. I always get criticized because I like to be at least 20 feet up in a tree. I don't like being where deer can see me.
I thought you liked being 40 feet.
I've hunted 40 feet multiple times. Hampton, have you seen some of the tree stands I used to hunt out of?
I bet if you got in a grove of tall pine trees, you'd be in the very top of that pine tree.
I tell you what, when I get in that climbing stand, I usually go until my bow rope comes up off the ground. Or at least until I've got good. Now, if I'm climbing up and I'm looking around and I got really good shooting lanes and I feel comfortable being not look. See, one thing I hate is when deer walk in there and look at me. And I just don't want that to happen. I don't like in the 15-foot ladder stands. I just feel like they're going to look at me. And I know guys kill them out of them every day. And guys have shot them on the ground, sitting on a log, smoking a cigarette. I hear you. I know you guys have all done it. But and it's whatever people prefer, I guess. I just like to be way up there. I feel like sometimes you can even get away with your scent sometimes being high because it'll go right over top of them. Now, is it the safest thing in the world? No. But I don't go 40 foot very much anymore. Back when I was younger, I used to stick two ladder sticks together and hang on and sit in it. You know, stupid stuff like that. You know, now about 20 feet. 20 feet I feel like is a good height for bow hunting. I feel like. And there's a lot of the ladder stands nowadays that are 20 foot tall. I know Muddy, most of their ladder stands are 20 foot tall. So that's where I like to be. Well, I like to be out of their view.
My thing is the tree stands, they're just too hard to take down, put up, move. And I like to move around every other week.
I bet I could have my climbing stand in that tree and up it before you can get that ground blind popped up and brushed up.
I don't brush them in.
Yeah, but then, see, now you got to let it sit for a week before you hunt out of it.
No.
Well, the best thing you do with the ground blind is when you pop it up, you sit in it right then because the deer are coming in and looking at that thing, wondering what it is, and they get up in there real close.
You've got a good point right there, and I've always wondered that with the ground blinds. It's either one or the other. I think if you pop one up, you pop it up, and you sit in it right then because it's just like you said. They're going to walk up there and kind of, like, what is that? Deer are curious. They're going to look. Now,
so let me put it this way.
You're sitting in it, though, you're going to be in a bad shape. They're going to...
Right. If someone walked in your house and took your old couch out and put a new one in there, the first thing you're going to do is walk up to it and check it out.
Right. You're going to be like, where'd this couch come from?
Exactly.
I don't have... Like, I hunt out of ground blinds with my little boy, obviously, just because he cannot hold still to save his life. But other than that, I try to avoid them. I don't care if... Like I said, Hampton, you've had a lot of success out of ground blinds. And you just, you're used to hunting that way, and it works for you. So that's the way you do it. But I like getting 20 foot in a tree. I can't even get Matt to go up in the tree with me half the time. He's just like, I'm not getting in that.
I don't feel concealed enough when I'm in a tree stand.
See, I feel the opposite. I feel like when you're sitting on the ground, they got a better chance of seeing you than they do if you're up in a tree.
Well, I'm kind of wormy when I sit too long. I got to move.
Yeah.
I can't sit too long. And so the ground blind kind of helps me where I can, if I need to stand up, I'll stand up or whatever,
Right. Well, they both have their advantages and disadvantages, that's for sure. And, you know, it's hard to beat, like Dan said, it's hard to beat just the old hiding in the grass. And if you're not filming or anything like that, guys, sitting on a log can be real deadly because you can get to where the deer can't see you or something.
Well, and here's another thing, TJ. If you're filming on the ground, you got one and I got one, and you probably use it for turkey hunting, but that blind, that half blind that goes in front of you,
yeah.
And they make them that's taller. If you can get behind some cedar trees or up under some cedars or something like that, I think that thing would be awesome to hunt off the ground.
Now,
if you knew they wasn't coming from behind you.
I do think that you have a better chance of getting winded with your scent sitting on the ground. Which
well, see, that's where the buck scent pads come in.
I was just
in.
Getting ready to say, now that brings us to the buck scent pads because, you know, if you're sitting on the ground and the wind's not blowing, your scent's literally just laying around you.
Speaking of deer, I'm getting pictures.
Oh, I probably am too. My phone's on do not disturb.
You guys are talking about that 8-9 o'clock hour. Here it is.
Yep.
Yeah, I got an 11 pointer on my camera, if you know what that is.
Oh, a spike?
Yeah.
Arkansas 11 pointer.
Arkansas 11 pointer.
Yeah.
Hey, I told you how to score those. I showed Matt the scoring system on those. Yeah. You take a tape measure across their back, and usually, you know, 23, 24 inches long is a keeper, in my opinion.
He looks about like a 2-year-old.
Perfect. You don't want them getting old and gamey. You don't want them old gamey bucks. I mean, if you're going to eat one, honestly, if people wouldn't just bury you in a hole, then ones with spots on them is probably the best ones to eat. But you come dragging one of them out of the woods and post it on social media, people are going to bury you anymore, you know.
I'd
take me a 2.5-year-old doe over a buck any day.
Yeah, if you're going to eat one, that's for sure. And you guys, I don't know if people know this or not. And I know it's a world we're growing up. You don't have to post a picture of this stuff on Facebook. You can just go home and eat it.
Right. No one would even be the wiser.
I don't know if people know you can do that or not. Like, you can actually not put stuff on there. You don't have to let the whole world know about it. I mean, I thought it was
mandatory now.
Now, I think people honestly think that, like, you know, you don't have to put that on there. That's just my opinion. I don't know. Maybe you do. I promise you, I don't put everything on there.
Hey, I've seen a thing the other day on social media, and it goes around every year. What has ruined the hunting industry as a whole for hunting?
I think it being called the hunting industry. I think.
No, well, that too, but they were talking more like people making fun of, oh, you only shot a 3.5-year-old. Why didn't you wait and shoot him when he was 6 years old?
I was going to say the criticism of social media. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
and that's the same song and dance everywhere. And even some of the big hunting industry guys that are doing that, but it's people. I mean, it's just humans, the way that we are. You know, we can't never hardly, it's just like the whole walleye thing. How many good things have happened in the professional fishing and you never hear a word about it? You never hear about the guy that, you know, fished his butt off to win a tournament and he finally won. You don't hear about that, but the one time somebody cheats, it's blowed up all over social media.
Exactly.
You know, all we want to do is tear people down. We don't never want to build anybody up, and it's in everything. It's sports, it's hunting. You know, if
you guys see that buck that was posted in the last couple of days, that big monster albino white buck that shot, and that one's been going around, and that was actually some good stuff on there. I didn't see a lot of criticism in the post that I've seen.
Yeah, which, you know what? Who cares if a guy shoots an albino deer? I'd shoot one if I seen one, especially a buck.
Hey, oh, me too. Definitely.
Well,
you know,
they actually
legal,
said,
do it.
Yeah, well, it is. Where is it? Is it illegal in some states?
Some states it might be illegal.
Which I don't see.
Yeah, they're considered a sacred creature.
Huh. Well, honestly.
What happens if you hit one with a car?
It's dead. I mean, you can't help that.
You got to buy a new car.
Yeah, you're fixing your car. Well, I feel like something like that.
Ask Dan.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like something like that. I mean, just like if you're driving down through Missouri here and you hit an elk. Speaking of that, I know you guys have all seen that Facebook video that guy uploaded where he was walking out of his deer stand and that big bull elk walked across the cornfield. Hmm. Did you see it, Justin? You had to have.
I didn't see that one either.
What I've been seeing is the guy walking out somewhere in that
mountain lions following him. Yeah, he's shooting with a pistol trying to.
I think that was out west somewhere.
Yeah.
This one was in Missouri.
I want to know how he missed it.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't.
I do. I mean, I know how.
I'd say he was a little shaky.
I'd be doing the same thing.
I'd say he was drawing circles around it. If you know. But no, there was a guy that was walking out of his deer stand here in Missouri, and it like shows a deer standing there, and the deer like runs off, and this big bull elk walks right across the, and he films it all with this. I'll have to find it. And it was here not far in Missouri. Like it was somewhere around here. I don't know exactly where.
Was it down south?
No. I mean, it was a cornfield. It looked like up around in here. I don't know. I don't know exactly where. I'll have to do some research.
They've got crops at Peck. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. They got crops. They got crops. My parents live in Florida. And I'm going to tell you, on the way into Daytona, out in like the farm country of Florida, there's cornfields, hay fields. I mean, it looks just like here.
Florida. Hey, in case you've never been to Florida, guys, it's not all beaches.
No, I've been there 100 times. I almost thought I had to go there this weekend for my anniversary, but we decided we're going to go to Branson. So, which I lucked out on that, guys. It's actually going to be 80 degrees this weekend, so it's a perfect weekend for me to go do all that. Because, you know,
oh, you're kidding me.
I got married October 27th, which is a terrible time to get married if you're a bow hunter. But I did.
RSVPs did you not get back for that?
Well, the bad part about it was all my buddies was in the wedding, so they didn't have a choice. They were all there. And we got married down by the river, and there was a big river bottom down there, and there was a buck chasing a doe the whole time while we're up there trying to pay attention and, you know, get married and all that. My buddy Dave, my best man's like, dude, look down. And I mean, we're standing here, you know, preacher's saying her thing, and we're getting ready. He's like, look down there. And I look, I'm like, oh my God. You know, this, and I could just feel my wife just staring a hole through my head, like, pay attention. You got to get this right, you know, which I think I got it right. I don't know. We're married, so I must have got something right. It's be 10 years, the 27th. So, but I lucked out. This weekend's going to be hot. Bucks will probably be moving like crazy, but, you know.
My Arkansas 11 pointer is going to town on my buck scent liquid I dumped out right there.
There you go.
Look at that. You getting pictures right now?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I get pictures all night.
Dang.
In that area.
You are the picture man. You're the trail camera king.
This is building the itch.
He had that his buck tag's been punched since September, so Justin's been kind of just sitting on a log lately. I can't believe you haven't went out and tried to shoot a doe or something.
I have. The stupid thing keeps walking around me. Then one night,
it's because you're in that ground blind.
No, but one night I sat there and I thought, man, this everything felt right. Well, about 6 o'clock, I was looking off to my left and thought, oh man, there's a couple of deer. 6 bucks come out. Right on by. I thought, oh, this is great.
That's usually how it goes. That's usually how it goes, honestly. Like, you don't have a buck tag, and you think, I'm going to go out and shoot a doe, and then all you do is see bucks.
Yeah. Well, then the next night, I sit there, and the does, I seen them come down out of the hayfield, down through the woods, because there's only like 30 acres of woods on this place, but it's spread out all over the 120 acres.
Right.
So I'm probably sitting in like 10 acres of woods. And I seen them come down out of the hayfield, down a hill, across a little creek, and they got ready to turn to me. And all of a sudden, they stopped and they looked back up the hill. Then they turned and went back behind me. I thought, well, son of a gun, you know.
It's always something.
So, yep.
All right. Well, before we wrap her up, I'm going to give a shout out one more time to Buck Sense Pads for your Thermosil, guys. You guys really need to check them out. Go to the Facebook page. I want to thank Dan for coming on here and talking to us about them. It's a really cool product, guys. It's made here in the United States. Check it out. The word on the street, it works like a charm. I'm fixing to try it out tomorrow night. I'll be honest, I haven't tried one yet. So, Hampton, you've been trying them a little bit, right?
Yep.
So,
well, if you hunt with the wind in your face, watch your back.
Yep. Watch your back, guys. The deer will be climbing a tree with you. That'd be all right with me. That'd be all right with me. I feel like I can fend one off. But
you think you'd get a shot at it that way?
No, I've tried shooting at them straight down. It don't work. I had an opportunity last year. I still cry about it every night before I go to bed. But All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap her up. I want to thank you, Dan, again, for coming on, talking to us about all the stuff you got going on. You guys, make sure you check out Buck Sense. Check out his soft bait company. Check out his Facebook page. If you listen to this podcast, you can go back and he put his phone number up there. Which, if Dan, if you want to go ahead and why don't you just go ahead and ring it all off again so everybody knows how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, if you'd like to get into the fishing and you're pretty avid, or if you're a beginner, you could check us out on Facebook or Instagram. If you want to call me directly, you can just dial up 810-304-1172. I'd like to thank you guys for having me on. It was a lot of fun. And definitely check out the Buck Scent Pads. Huge shout out to Scott, all the guys on the team. They all do a lot of great work, and Scott is an amazing guy to work for and actually promote for. And he takes care of his people and makes an awesome product. So if you get a chance to use them, see what happens different in the woods. You might, you know, might go against everything you've trained yourself to believe that you need to do to actually hunt.
There you go. Well, it'd always be nice if you could hunt with the wrong wind. That's for sure. So if it works like that, that's a game changer.
Yep. Well, I do it on purpose now.
Yeah. But all right, guys. Well, I want to thank all you guys for sitting through all our rants and raves, and thank you for listening to Ozark Traditions TV, and we'll talk at you guys on the next one.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.